Welcome to God and Country Radio. Brant discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. It's election season, and we are again barraged with candidates proclaiming their own virtues and their opponents' vices. And this is an amazing sight to see. And it's filled with so many moral, spiritual lessons. Particularly how each political side sees itself as the epitome of morality. As if each party is living in two separate universes. Where in one universe, that which is evil is good. And in the other universe, that which is good is evil. And they really are living in two different universes. There are two different moral views because two different standards of right and wrong are being used. And I'll discuss that momentarily. But let's start with a quick Bible study to illustrate the two sides and human moral confusion and ambiguity. Numbers chapter 16. After Moses led the Jewish people out of Egypt, the leading men of the families of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram complained that Moses was in charge. Numbers 16:2. And they rose up before Moses, together with some of the sons of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, chosen in the assembly, men of renown. They assembled together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You have gone far enough, for all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is in their midst. So why do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord?" A few points here. Notice the large number that opposed Moses' leadership. Why do you think they had a problem with Moses? Well, most likely because they wanted the power. They might have been totally fine with Moses' policies, but they wanted his job. But in almost all similar cases, there's also a dislike for the policy. We can be sure that at that time, there were those who weren't very Jehovah God-centered. Moses was setting up Israel to be a very conservative moral nation. I'm sure many weren't very happy with that. Why do political parties and candidates dislike their opponents? It's because of both power and policy. Now, superficial readers of the Bible might at this point think, hey, these leaders of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram might have a good point. Maybe Israel should be more democratic. And Moses should share his authority. But God chose Moses. And God did miraculous works through Moses. And if it weren't for Moses, these people would still be slaves in Egypt. At this time, the country needed a single leader. Just like in America, George Washington was in charge until the nation was established. Actually, earlier in Numbers chapter 11, Moses had set up a government by appointing 70 elders to rule with him. Also in Numbers chapter 12, we get a picture of Moses' character. He was not a demagogue. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. "Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth." So it's apparent that these leading men who were rebelling against Moses had the wrong motives. Selfish ambition. Godly men would have been much more patient and understanding of the situation. But notice these men of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram had their justifications and reasons. Sin and rebellion always comes with an excuse, which will sound legitimate to those who are unaware. Number 16:3, "Then they said to Moses, 'All the congregation is holy, every one of them. And the Lord is in their midst, so why do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord?'" In other words, we're just as qualified as you, Moses. So why shouldn't we have the authority? They completely disregard the concept of God's establishment of civil authority. They wanted some sort of egalitarianism. Later in Numbers chapter 16, verse 13, they again spoke to Moses claiming, "You brought us up to die in the wilderness." So they were impugning Moses' motives, insinuating that he secretly wanted to destroy the country. And they also said, you want to lord over us. You just want the power. And this is what politicians say all the time, against their opponent. But who wants power legitimately? Moses or the sons of Korah? So God tells Moses to tell all the Israelites to get away from the tents of these wicked men, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Then Moses says, if these men die a natural death, then you know that the Lord has not sent me. But if these men die supernaturally, then you know that I'm called of God and this is the hand of God. Numbers chapter 16, verse 31. And as Moses finished speaking all of these words, the ground that was under them, the family of Korah, split open. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up and their households and all the men who belonged to Korah with their possessions. So they and all of their belongings to them went down alive into the grave, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. A large sinkhole opens up and wipes out these men. And we think, wouldn't that be a nice way to know who is the evil political party? When they have their convention, the ground opens up, swallows them alive. Well, what was happening in the inauguration of the Mosaic Covenant was that God was performing extraordinary miracles to firmly establish God's authority over godless unbelievers, so that there would at least be some respect for God and righteousness in the world, so the nation of Israel could be established on a right footing. The usual state of affairs is for God to let people live by faith and by their own unforced moral choices, so they wouldn't simply be faking fidelity to God out of mere self-preservation. But that's a whole other lesson. Here's the point I want us to get to. After all the other surviving Israelites see this miraculous demonstration of God's judgment on those who refuse to follow his law, you would think that they would get the message and agree that Jehovah is God and we better pay attention to what he says. But no, the people were angry. And they said to Moses, quote, you have killed the people of the Lord, the people of Jehovah God. So even after the judgment and this miraculous sign, the people still sided with the men of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, believing that their values and policies represented the truth. And Moses was not of God. So their definition of the character of God and the law of God was in error. And the same thing happened in Jesus' day. The disciples saw Jesus as the righteous one of God, but the Pharisees believed that Jesus was of Beelzebub. For them, Jesus' miracles weren't a sign that he's from God, but a sign that he had demonic powers. Why did they come to that conclusion? Because maybe they had a direct line with God? No, because they didn't like the power Jesus was getting with the people, and they didn't like Jesus' righteous policy. His moral teachings criticized them. It was about power and policy. And the old saying is still true. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. People will hold to their values and their parties regardless of arguments or pragmatic outcomes. Their policies may run the nation into the ground, but they don't care, because they have an agenda, a certain definition of God, a certain worldview. And if they're wrong, not only does their worldview crumble, but they're guilty of being wrong. And people in their pride can't stand for that. So, in every society, there are two groups. For some, the Creator God, if he's out there, or even if he's only a force, definitely wants people to practice homosexuality, transgenderism, abortion, cultural economic Marxism, because this God or this reality must be all about affirming self-will and personal desires. That must be the God who's out there because that's what I like, and that's how I think things ought to be. Now, for others, the Creator God wants people to practice sexual morality. Marriage is one man, one woman. God expects us to submit to our gender, to the law of nature, and nature's God. And God expects us to enforce moral law and economic accountability. Which is the true God? Which is the true reality? Which is the correct worldview? Remember the old TV show, To Tell the Truth? There were three people on stage all claiming to be a certain person. A famous author, an athlete, a scientist, or an adventurer. And the job of the contestants was to ask questions to determine who was the real individual. And the show would close with the real person standing up. Well, that's what's happening in our world concerning God. We ask questions, we choose, and someday the real God will stand up. And who we choose reveals our nature and our character, and that's why God has put us on this stage we call the earth. The biblical accounts, the rebellion of Korah, the Pharisees calling Jesus Beelzebub, the showdown on Mount Carmel between Elijah and the prophets of Baal, the story of Cain and Abel, and thousands of other biblical events are recorded to teach and illustrate mankind's moral battle, the moral choice we have before us concerning who will be our God. And one of the things we see in all of these biblical accounts is that it's very polarizing. It's often hard to discern unless one is very in tune with God. The example of Korah's rebellion illustrates that not only will people choose evil, the darkness, but they will believe that it's the light. And this is why the Bible speaks so often about the deception of sin. Ephesians chapter 4, the trickery of men by craftiness and deceitful scheming. 2 Thessalonians 2:10, with all deception of wickedness for those who perish. 2 Peter 2:13, people revel in their deception. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words. Titus chapter 1, verse 10, there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, Satan is a deceiver. He goes out to deceive the whole world. You know, our battle would be a whole lot easier if those who are on the side of evil were easily identifiable. If they would just wear little name tags, little badges that say, hello, I'm a false teacher. It's so deceptive that even people who are evil don't know or believe that they're evil. As Jesus said about the leaders in his day, they're the blind leaders of the blind. I read political articles all the time that claim that politicians on the left know that they're telling lies. I wish that were true. Then they would at least feel some, you know, guilt and shame. But the reality is, because people build their ideology on a false worldview, they sincerely believe their policies are of the truth. Now, of course, they may realize that they're not telling the whole truth about maybe the border situation or transgenderism or the federal deficit or where the money is going. But when one believes his party policies are righteous, those lies aren't really considered lies. They're merely considered hiding truth from your enemy, hiding your game plan for the good of the nation. Check out Matthew chapter 23, Jesus' indictment of the Pharisees. They were convinced that they were the party of righteousness, that they were on God's side, and Jesus said to them, you're so corrupt that when you make one convert, you make him twice as much the son of hell as yourselves. That really offended them. Now let's look at a current day example of moral confusion. President Biden in his campaign speech at Valley Forge. This speech is significant because I believe everything that we'll be hearing in the Democrat campaign over the next 10 months will be a repeating and restating of the points Biden made in the Valley Forge speech. It's all there, that the Democrats are for democracy and the Republicans are against democracy, that Trump falsely claimed that there was election fraud, that Donald Trump is disqualified because he instigated an insurrection. and that the Democrats are for abortion rights and LGBTQ and transgender education in schools. But here's the big takeaway. What we really need to understand about the Democrat Party campaign. The theme of Biden's speech was that the Democrat Party is for democracy. Biden used the word democracy about 30 times in this speech. And this will be the heart of the upcoming Democrat campaign. Quote from Biden. Whether democracy is still America's sacred cause is the most urgent question of our time. It's what the 2024 election is all about. America, as we begin this election year, we must be clear, democracy is on the ballot. Your freedom is on the ballot. Unquote. The game that is being played here, the excuse for economic and social lawlessness, is a new definition of democracy. The old word democracy is being used, but it's being defined differently. It now means that people should be able to do what they want to do. It's a philosophy of moral freedom. And there are many people today who agree with Oliver Wendell Holmes that law ought to be a function of whatever the people want. Mankind's will, populism is the basis for morality, not the law of nature, nature's God. And it's really not surprising that the Democrats would campaign on democracy. Because back in 1858, Stephen Douglas was campaigning against Abraham Lincoln, and Douglas contended that slavery should continue because of democratic values, that the people should decide. And Abraham Lincoln said no. Appealing to democracy was an indifference between right and wrong, an indifference toward the higher law of God. So anyway, the Democratic Party is generally built on the ideological foundation that law is a function of man's desire. The Republican Party is generally built on the ideological foundation of the law of nature and nature's God. That's why the Republican platform is opposed to abortion and LGBTQ. Because Democrat candidates believe that the basis for ethics ought to be the will of man, one's moral freedom, that's why they will claim that they're morally superior to the Republicans. That the Republicans are bad because they will not give you moral license. And the Democrats, because they're logically consistent with what they believe is the basis for ethics, naturally believe they're in the right. But that's a deception. Just because you are logically consistent with your moral foundation doesn't mean you're right because your moral foundation may be wrong. So, this is what's happening. The Democrats are campaigning on the promise of democracy, your moral freedom, and Republicans can then be depicted as oppressors, demagogues, and totalitarians. I'm old enough to remember when the Republicans would campaign on democracy. And the Democrats would hardly speak the word because the Democrats were happy with the courts legalizing immoral behavior on the basis of civil liberties, regardless of the public consensus. The Democrats did not want these moral issues to go to a referendum, a vote by the people, a democracy, because the electorate was more conservative than the judicial branch. But now that the American electorate, the citizenship, has further embraced cultural Marxism, the Democrats can now claim they're for democracy. And they can claim that the decision of the Supreme Court overturning Roe is undemocratic. So be aware of these justifications for evil. Evil always comes with a justification. And know the game that's being played in now calling the Republicans a threat to democracy. Democracy used to mean liberty under law. Now it's defined as lawlessness, freedom to do your own thing. Biden said in his Valley Forge speech, and look at what these autocrats are doing to limit freedom in their countries. They're limiting freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom to assemble, women's rights, LGBTQ rights. People are going to jail and so much more. Democracy means having the freedom to speak your mind, to be who you are, to be who you want to be, unquote. This is the new definition of democracy. So again, be aware of the game that's being played and tell others about the game that's being played and tell those who are playing the game that we see the game. Now, Donald Trump responded to Biden's speech by pointing out that Biden himself is a threat to democracy. And many other conservative pundits made the same point. You've probably heard the Republican response over the last 2 weeks. That the leftists are those who want to limit free speech on campuses and social media. That Biden is the one who is ignoring the law, ignoring democracy by not enforcing U.S. immigration law. That Biden attacked the Houthi bases in Yemen without going to Congress for authorization, as required in the Constitution. That Biden has unilaterally forgiven student debt, ignoring the Constitution that gives the authority to Congress. And Biden has ignored the recent Supreme Court ruling prohibiting his debt forgiveness. And that Biden and the Democrats are the ones trying to twist the law to keep Trump off the ballot. How democratic is that? And that Biden and the Democrats have lied about January 6th, claiming that a protest to petition Congress to investigate election fraud was actually an attempt to overthrow the government? I didn't see any of those protesters there with guns and weapons. And not only was it not an insurrection, by all legal standards, Donald Trump did not direct or incite anyone to walk into the Capitol building. Oh, by the way, in his speech, Biden even said, quote, Trump is trying to rewrite the facts of January 6th, trying to steal history the same way he tried to steal the election. That's amazing, because it's the Democrats who are trying to rewrite history by making the January 6th protest out to be something it's not, so they can indict Trump. Here's how President Biden closed his speech. And this is a lesson in projection and in a lack of self-awareness and examination. Quote from Biden, "The push and pull of American history is not a fairy tale. Every stride forward in America is met with a ferocious backlash, many times from those who fear progress and those who exploit that fear for their own personal gain, from those who traffic in lies told for power and profit, from those who are driven by grievance and grift, consumed by conspiracy and victimhood, from those who seek to bury history and ban books." Unquote. Biden. Now, I try to be fair when I listen to political opponents. I realize they're going to claim that their policies are better and right. But here we have Biden speaking against those who exploit fear for personal gain, traffic in lies for power and profit, and who are driven by grievance, conspiracy, and victimhood. If that doesn't describe the Democrat modus operandi, nothing does. But here Biden is claiming that this is what the Republicans are all about. Now, certainly you can find some Republicans who act that way. But that also really describes Democrat rhetoric. So what we're seeing in the news is the age-old battle over who is God. So here's the challenge. You better get into Scripture and get an authority for right and wrong that's outside of yourself, because natural man is too easily deceived by his own sinful bias and his desire for autonomy from God. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. The extended video version of this program is at my YouTube and Rumble channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. Check that out. Subscribe. Thanks for listening. Keep seeking after the truth. And may Jesus Christ reign.